Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Hey everybody, Adam Mochler here. I think you guys are going to enjoy this conversation I had with friend of the show Mike Nellis in person in his Chicago studio. We're building new formats, new shows, and we are working very hard behind the scenes over here at Mochler Media. So make sure you drop a like and subscribe and stay tuned.
Okay, so Lutnick spoke to the House Oversight Committee privately behind closed doors. So Republicans insisted and Lutnick insisted that they not talk in public. And Ro Khanna and Yasmin Ansari and other Democrats came out. Basically, he changed his complete tune on Epstein. And if you look at the old interviews from before the Epstein files dropped, what little bit we've been able to see, he said that he had no relationship with Howard Lutnick, or excuse me, Howard Lutnick had no relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, but except they lived next to each other. He bought a house from him. They started a business together. And he took his family to the island. He took his kids to the island. So now he's been caught lying about his relationship.
There's a quote that I learned throughout the election fraud saga. And it was that what people say to the press is very, very different than what they'll say under oath or when they're actually being questioned in a serious manner by politicians or an interrogative way. With election fraud, they would always say there was this massive election fraud sweeping throughout all these states. But when you actually brought that to court or when you put any of these people under oath, their story would change radically. It happened with Rudy Giuliani. It happened with all of these people. So with Howard Nutlick or Howard Lutnick, whatever you want to call him, he did say on a podcast like a year ago about Epstein, he said, Epstein is a creep. You know, I went to Epstein's, he said this, my family and I went into Epstein's apartment in 2012 or whatever, 2010. He was such a creep, I decided to never, ever talk to him again. Never was I going to interact with him again. Then we learned throughout the emails that Lutnick visited the island with his family after. So even if he did get the creepy vibe, he still visited the family. Now, Lutnick being under oath or being asked questions in a more interrogative manner will get him to admit this when he wouldn't admit it in the press. So maybe we need more of these dishonest, slimy Republicans to be put under oath and sit their ass down in front of an oversight committee and ask them questions. Because I'm so sick of the spineless dodging, obfuscating, trying to get away from answering questions or lying like Lutnick does, like all of these MAGA pundits do. But the moment that you actually get them under oath, the moment that you actually get them in a setting where they can't lie, you learn a lot about them.
Well, that's, and Democrats, when they take back the House, need to be serious about this. Because what I'm worried about is that they just give up on Epstein, they give up on the corruption. They're just using it as a campaign talking point right now. And I think that would be a huge mistake. Like, it is bullshit that Howard Lutnick spoke to the Oversight Committee under oath, if he was under oath, which I'm sure that he was. And we don't see it. We don't have any video of that. Like, the American people should get a chance to see it, given this is probably the biggest cover, one of the biggest cover-ups in American history.
So many big cover-ups under the Trump administration. And I want to talk more about the Epstein and how we can bring accountability, but let's just run through them. There's boat strikes that happened in the Caribbean that got covered up.
Yep, the double taps.
The double taps that we covered up. Donald Trump's health spiraling is quite literally being covered up by terrible, awful, shitty concealer on his hands and on his neck. Yep. We have the Epstein files cover up. That is very, we're going to talk about that more. There's Renee Good and Alex Preddy being covered up right after they were executed in the streets.
And those agents are still in the field.
Those agents
are
still in the field. And the joint investigation that was coordinated between the state and the federal government was spiked down by the federal government. So they said, we're going to cover this up. There was actually a mass resigning from the DOJ. There's cover-ups regarding the Iran war. They said that we obliterated all of their nuclear capacity like 10 months ago back in June, but we didn't get any of the information showing that, and we didn't get anything, you know, substantive out of that.
Like, they've lied about the damage to military bases. I think they're lying about how many service members have died, too.
They definitely are. And you know what else I'm forgetting? They covered up economic numbers. Yeah. The BLS numbers were spiked month after month after month because there were unfavorable economic numbers. Just think about this. This is the least transparent administration in American history. They would rather lie to our faces and cover things up than actually move the country in the right direction. And then the moment it backfires on them, rather than saying we're going to change our tune and change step, what they do is they all try to rig elections across the country by surgically carving out black districts and diluting the black voters there. Yeah. So bringing this all back, We need to make sure there is accountability. God, we just need to restore our democracy. I'm so sick of this race to the bottom with redistricting while Republicans lead the way in covering up the Epstein files and being just awful pieces of shit. And then they blame the Republicans, or sorry, they blame the Democrats mm-hmm. for reciprocating. It's just annoying.
It's bullshit. And we don't live in a real democracy now. I am going to say, you know, you say that Donald Trump is not the most transparent president, but they released the UFO files this
UFO,
week. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
We have grainy images of like weird spacecrafts. And so
totally
we should do the whole show about that. That's probably, yeah. I don't think Donald Trump wants to talk about UFOs, right?
Yeah, right.
But it's bullshit. And at every level, our government has completely been corrupted. And I think it's important to say, because I don't know if you saw Thomas Massey was on Tucker Carlson's show, and he was talking about how the Epstein files cover up and the crimes is a bipartisan thing, right? And it's the Epstein classes constantly taking advantage of us, and they don't care about partisan politics. They pit us against each other to make us hate our neighbors and hate our family while they abuse kids and steal our money and shit. And I think it's important that we call that out, because even this redistricting battle right now between the Democrats and Republicans, it's important and we need to cover it. But it's a distraction from what this class of people are doing. The Epstein class is not being prosecuted, investigated, or exposed for abusing little girls and little boys on an island, doing it with impunity. They got their tax cuts from Donald Trump. They're getting their pardons. They're getting their crypto billions that they're scamming. But there's just no accountability, and the rest of us are holding the bag.
So what other updates were there regarding the files? Honestly, yeah. I've been very steeped in the Iran war over the past month, over and over, just trying to drive points home about the Iran war and how much it is failing and costing us money.
Yeah.
So I saw vaguely, from my understanding, that Epstein's suicide note got leaked out there.
Suicide note.
So people don't know if it's real?
His brother says it's not real. Okay, his brother's like, it's not his handwriting. He would never talk like that.
So then Howard Lutnick testified under oath. And then wasn't there a new... There's another story as well.
There's the Massey thing I just mentioned, which is like Massey exposing that, talking about like Donald Trump has been fighting so hard to keep Republicans in line on this.
Yeah.
And now Massey's primary, I think, is in like a week.
Marjorie said something similar. Marjorie came out and was like, Donald Trump did not want us to release that. Marjorie said Trump threatened her son over this. Yeah.
Are we now at the point where we talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene, which is like Marjorie first name as if we know her?
Yeah, Marjorie,
I mean, Anna Paulina Lina, Donald Trump dragged her into the Situation Room to yell at her about this. So it's gross. But the other story is CNN did an expose where they interviewed inmates at the prison that Ghislaine Maxwell is at in Texas, which is known as Club Fed, right? It's a nice place for white collar criminals, nonviolent offenders to go. That is like a pickleball court and golf and video games and God knows what else. Apparently, so she's there. It's in violation of the Board of Prisons policy to have a violent offender there, because abusing and trafficking kids is a violent offense. So she's there. The inmates there are outraged that she is there and they're upset. And the couple of things that I saw in the CNN piece, I did a video on it that's going to go up on my YouTube today, is one, Ghislaine Maxwell's getting like fancy meals and is pissing everybody off. She's getting crab and like other shit like that. When she does private visitations, she doesn't do it where everybody else does the private visitations. They literally like take everybody out of the chapel at the church, a place of worship. She meets privately there. And I think there's a legitimate question that I have of who the hell is going to see Ghislaine Maxwell right now?
Yeah.
Like, has Todd Blanche come
Todd
back?
Todd Blanche,
right. Yeah. Have other members of the DOJ come back? Has somebody in the Trump administration come back? Who are they hiding that from? And then anybody at that prison who speaks out about it, who says this is wrong, there's multiple people who've spoke to the press about it, these inmates, people who, I don't know what they've committed, but they're getting retaliated. There was one woman who was moved from the prison to another less secure facility and more dangerous place for her because she flagged what was wrong with Ghislaine Maxwell. And it's just gross the way that she's being treated.
Donald Trump's world, he treats like Ghislaine Maxwell and Vladimir Putin well.
Yes.
And then he tries to demean Zelensky and Jimmy Kimmel. In his world, like Rob Reiner is the real enemy. And people like Ghislaine Maxwell and Vladimir Putin are just over there on the side. But
they murdered Alex Pretty. They shot him three times in the back for recording what ICE was doing to terrorize immigrant communities. And they give Ghislaine Maxwell a pass to be in a private prison.
In a really beautiful prison. I've heard that she had access to like a dog, or she was walking around. She had all of this luxury stuff. And she was moved there. We need to remember the timeline. She was moved there after a closed door interview with Todd Blanche, who was the deputy attorney general at the time, Trump's former lawyer back in during the campaign trail. And right after this closed door interview, she gets moved prisons, which caused a lot of controversy. So if we piece all of this together, just to back up, Howard Nutlick testifies and he changes his tune a slight bit. So he's being shifty.
Not a slight bit. He went from I have no relationship with Jeffrey Epstein to, okay, here's the truth. I have this relationship with Epstein. And he also went from, because he said that in that interview where he said he didn't have a relationship with him, he said that Jeffrey Epstein was the world's greatest blackmailer. And apparently when he spoke to the Oversight Committee, he was like, I don't know anything about Jeffrey Epstein blackmailing.
Dude, it's like a prerequisite to be in the administration that you also have to be in the Epstein
file. Yeah, 100%. You have to check that box on the form when you apply.
We've got Elon Musk wanted to go there. We've got the new Fed chair appointee, Kevin Warsh, who is also in the Epstein files. Of course, Trump himself. We have J.D. Vance, who has close ties to Peter Thiel. And Peter Thiel was emailing with Epstein even until the very last day.
Asking him for PR advice. Asking him, if I got into a similar situation with dealing with like young adults in a sexual situation, how should I handle that?
The absolute double standards here are insane. I know I say this all the time, and I know the double standard argument is run all the time, but the fact that Biden was pinned as this crazy, nefarious dude who's letting billionaires take over, could you imagine if Biden and Bill Gates were walking around the White House like Trump and Elon Musk were? Could you imagine if Biden's name was littered throughout the files of Jeffrey Epstein? But not just that, the people around him, their name was littered throughout the files, and then his administration began to cover it up, lie about it, you know, change their tune over and over. It would be the end of the world. Fox News would be airing segment after segment after segment, but for some reason, some of the other media that exists right now, not independent media, we're great, but like some of the other media is so toothless that it begins to forget about the Epstein files. How many Epstein file stories would Fox News run?
Well, how many did they run? Like, let's not forget, like, they changed their tune on this. Like, they were all about Bill Clinton and Bill Gates in the files, and the minute it was like, oh, no, Donald Trump's in trouble.
These people milk it so hard. Like, I remember I was asking my producer, Hayden, like, are we milking the Scott Jennings debate debacle too much? And he was like, dude, if this happened in reverse, they would talk about it for four months.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Trump himself would post about it. Elon Musk himself would post about it. The right-wing ecosystem would be firing on all cylinders, so much so that Donald Trump himself would be tweeting, ha, look at this funny clip. So for me to spend 5 days, you know, just kind of like rehashing it, and people on Twitter are like, you're milking it. F that. These Republicans run the same recycled narrative over and over, and especially with the Epstein files. So
can I give you, before we move on from that, can I give you a story of my own background here? Because the first time I ever did Fox News, I was on Harris Faulkner's show in the daytime.
That's a big one.
And I screwed up an inflation statistic. This was in the summer of last year. I screwed it up, and Faulkner fact-checked me in real time. I just got the number wrong. I said it was like 3 or 4% or something like that. And the entire right-wing media apparatus turned it into Harris Faulkner destroys Democratic strategist, blah, blah, blah. Because this whole thing, cycle, cycle, cycle. And I'm embarrassed, right? It was my first time on Fox. I was nervous. I wasn't as comfortable doing it as I am now. And she invited me back a week later to do a follow-up conversation. And I was very well prepped and prepared for it because I had taken my licks. And I demolished her. And then it went hyper-viral in the reverse against her. And like I gained a bunch of audience. And I have never been invited back on her show.
Damn.
And what I was told was I did not protect the talent.
Damn.
That it's my job to protect the talent. It is not my job because Harris Faulkner didn't protect me when I was on her show. Yeah. And I don't want to be protected. Like I screwed up. I deserve the lumps that I got.
Those types of moments where you just charge it to the game and you mess up, it does happen. My first time ever on with Scott Jennings, he got me or whatever. I cited some inflation statistic and he was like, but do you know why that is? And I was like, well, I'm assuming tariffs. And he's like, no, the weather changed. And then he's clipped that up everywhere. I remember he tweeted out, welcome to the big leagues, kid. It looks like you're not ready. And I remember being like, fuck this guy, this guy. But really those moments are like, you just got to eat it. It is kind of, there's a little awkwardness whenever something goes viral and I don't really like it, I'm just like, fuck, I wish I could just like recontrol the narrative. But that is what Trump is rather good at doing. He's good at setting the narrative through insane Truth Social posts. Mm-hmm. And whether it's Robert Mueller dying or the Epstein files, he's the one in the headlines.
Yeah.
When Robert Mueller died, his death immediately got hijacked by Donald Trump's Truth Social post making fun of it or saying that, you know, good, I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah, I'm glad he's dead. Same thing with Rob Reiner.
Same thing with Rob Reiner. It immediately shifted the narrative back to Donald Trump's turf, the turf that he's most comfortable on, which is inflammatory stuff. So Democrats need to be hammering home our own narratives, truthful narratives, things like Donald Trump and everybody in his administration are covering up the Epstein files because they're very clearly involved. Yep. Truthful narratives like the Iran war is backfiring every single day on the American people and costing us collectively probably at this point going to be $100 billion. I think the estimates.
It's going to be more than that.
It's going to be more. So there's two separate costs.
This is going to take forever.
There's the cost of the war, which right now they're saying is like $50 billion. It's probably more like $80 billion. Then there's the cost of Americans needing to buy more gas or more expensive gas That has cost collectively $30 billion out of our pockets. That's right. Money that could go towards healthcare, food, you know, fun, like going out or going on vacation or whatever. Yeah. People are canceling vacations, canceling doctor's appointments, and it's because of the Epstein class waging this Iran war.
Yeah, and even if tomorrow Donald Trump strikes a deal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz, which is not a win, by the way, because the Strait was open before the war, it'll take them 6 months to reopen and get back to the production levels. It's going to take a year until gas prices are even remotely close to where they were before. And I'll just note, because you and I debate these guys all the time, before this war in Iran, the only economic talking point they had was gas prices are down, Mike. Isn't it good that gas prices are down? They were down like 15 cents, so it wasn't like a ton. But the average car payment had ballooned up to like $800 a month. So they were already screwed. And now they've just stretched the economy even further. And it's clear that they have no idea what they're doing.
They have officially 180'd on all of their promises
yes.
in such a stunning way that it's just hard to believe how much they hoisted themselves by their own petard. They
yes.
shot themselves in the foot. I like, you know, the phrase hoisted by their own petard. I learned yes. that at Curb Your Enthusiasm. Very, very nice quote. I like it. But he basically, he made the promise, no new wars, lower gas prices. He's going to end inflation on day one. That's a promise.
Yeah, we're not launching new wars.
Not launching. We're going to end the Ukraine-Russia war.
I'm going to drain the swamp.
Drain the swamp, end the Ukraine-Russia war. We're going to close the border and make the country more yep. safe.
A chicken in every pot.
I cannot believe the absolute inverse of reality that we've seen. The country feels less safe, both domestically and internationally. Mm-hmm. Domestically, due to the ICE raids and the absolute insanity happening. Internationally, obviously, because Iran has regional control of the Strait and all of our allies effing hate us right now. Prices are spiking. Gas prices, diesel yep. prices, which underlie the prices of everything else. Tariffs hurt the average American. And what's the return that we've gotten? So Trump keeps doing all these disastrous, crazy policies, saying that there's going to be a long-term gain at some point. This makes me so mad. Think about it. He told us for months that the tariffs were going to work. Just calm down. There's going to be a long-term gain. What is the gain? We haven't right. seen anything. We haven't seen any return whatsoever. Americans are just struggling. When it comes to the Iran war, we're 10 to 11 weeks into this now, even though it's set on a 4 to 6 week timeline. What is the benefit here?
Right.
If Iran had actually been defanged and they have no nukes, and if the regime had actually been changed and the IRGC were no longer in control, I would be sitting here praising Donald Trump. And so would Micah Irfan, my Iranian-American policy advisor. He has family that's been yep. abused in Iran. He would be the first person to say Trump has helped the Iranian people, but he has not. He has hurt the Iranian people. He's taken them farther away from liberation. And in a disgusting manner, he has pulled the rug out from underneath them by telling them to go out into the streets and liberate themselves.
Hey, let them die.
By not... Then not doing anything for months right. after letting tens of thousands of them die. Now, God, it just pisses me off. Now he's threatening war crimes against the same exact people that he promised to help by saying he's going to strike their desalination plants. This Red Bull has me going this morning. Striking their...
Somebody get me a Celsius, please.
Yeah, striking their desalination plants, striking all this. The same people that he vowed to help at the beginning of this
yeah.
war, he now wants to genocide. What are we doing here?
He's completely abandoned the people of Iran. Because if you remember, in the beginning, it was it's regime change. We got to get rid of these terrible people. The Iranian government's bad, and they are bad. Yeah. Like, no justification for the crimes they commit against their own people. But Donald Trump allowed tens of thousands of Iranians to be killed. So if they wanted to do this, even if it was a bullshit, even if it was like George W. Bush and the weapons of mass destruction, it would have been a smarter political move to be like, we're going in now
in
to save these people yeah, in January. But yeah. they're not capable of that. And I think it goes back to what you said earlier about, like, it doesn't make sense when Donald Trump goes on TV and talks about the golden age of America and talks about how gas prices are lower. But, like, I think people need to understand, when Donald Trump does a press conference, when he speaks to the press, when he's talking to anybody, we are not his audience.
Mm-hmm.
When you and I shoot a video, we're talking, and I'm going to point to my camera right here, we're talking to you, right? The American people who are watching it, who are getting screwed in this economy. You know who Donald Trump is talking to? The Epstein class. He's talking to his billionaire donors. He's talking to the people who keep him in power. Because if he lost Peter Thiel, if he lost all the other people who he's covering up for, some of whom are in his cabinet, like Howard Lutnick, he would be gone. They would install J.D. Vance as president tomorrow. There would be an actual assassination attempt instead of whatever the hell happened at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yep.
And so his audience is an increasingly small group of oligarchs who are taking advantage of winning no matter what. It is not the American people. And once you start thinking about it through that lens, a lot of what Donald Trump does actually makes a lot of sense.
The American people are waking up. And that's
yeah.
why, you know, the work that we're doing is powerful. It's growing at a pace lately that I think correlates with the dissatisfaction of the American people. And
right.
what I mean is that lately, the content that we've been making, talking about pro-democracy, return to normal institutions, with anti-corruption, weeding out the corruption, it's been resonating with a lot more people.
Yeah.
People have been commenting saying, we're listening. I don't really pay attention to politics much, but we're listening. We're hearing this. And I think that's because Donald Trump has created an environment where he's basically accelerated the dissatisfaction with our institutions rather than fixing anything. He promised to come in there and re-rig the institutions for the average people, but he just re-rigged them for himself, as John Ossoff says. And the American people can see that. Now we just need the right Democrat to come in. We cannot elect a Trumpian type person who's going to say they're going to fix things and then 180. I need someone. I really do like John Ossoff, and the reason why is because he worked in anti-corruption for a while, making films about anti-corruption. So now you can kind of see that in his messaging. He's got a very strong core anti-corruption message.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Trump that I appreciate about him, which is a tough word to use for him, is that he exposes everything that's broken about American politics. And the people around him expose themselves around
him. He's like the rawest form of the brokenness.
Yes, that's actually the perfect analysis here. But it's like the ballroom is like the perfect example of this, right? Yeah. Like, look at how quickly every MAGA influencer in the wake of whatever the hell happened at the White House Correspondents' Dinner moved so fast to be like, we have to build the ballroom. We have to build the ballroom now. Now I just exposed all of those people. Now we know who are the diehards who are on the payroll, and we know who aren't on the payroll, right? The people that wouldn't sell that. Look how quickly Senate and House Republicans moved to introduce legislation to spend $1 billion in taxpayer dollars to build the ballroom, right? He exposes every aspect of American society that's broken. And so many people talk about how Trump is the problem. If we just got rid of Trump, everything would be fine. But it wouldn't be, because the truth of the matter is he is a product of the system. He is a product of the rot and the drift that we have in this country right now, where we have not been taking on the Epstein class. We have not been taking on Wall Street. We have not been doing the things to give people an actual opportunity to succeed. And now he has created this glaring light on it in the way that, frankly, the Bush administration did too. And like, you're too young to remember this. I mean, God, you would have been like 3 years old during the Bush. I hate how young you are when I think about it. But like, basically everything that Trump is doing right now is like a meaner, dumber version of what George W. Bush did. So he's the same Republican president. He's just a bigger jackass. But when Bush left office, people were so sick of the Republican Party that they turned and they did something that we'd never done before. We elected a black man with a funny name, president of the United States, a young guy with little kids, back into the White House. And it was great. It wasn't perfect. We didn't get everything right, but it was great. Now we have an opportunity to do that again.
Yep.
But Democrats have to do what we did under Obama times 1,000.
Yeah.
Because they've broken every norm. They've broken every law. There has to be real accountability. When Obama took over, they did not go after the Wall Street cooks who destroyed the economy. We have to have accountability for these people.
There needs to be, it's probably a good place to end it, there needs to be a fundamental rewiring of the way our institutions work incentive-wise.
Yes.
So when we're talking about the Epstein files being covered up, or the ballroom, or corruption with lobbyists, all of this leads back to the incentives at a human level.
Yes.
Everybody is self-interested to a degree, and we like to think that our politicians are able to put that self-interest to the side and rather serve the people that they're supposed to represent. But politicians are just as self-interested as the average American, the average human being. So these politicians' interest, their incentive, leads them not serving the average person that they represent, but serving the average lobbyist, the average donor, the average person who can give them money. So then you have these very small, concentrated groups of donors and lobbyists who give money to politicians and are able to persuade politicians to take on certain policy positions, even though the cost of those policy positions is then dispersed among the general population.
Right.
So it benefits a very small group, and the cost of it is dispersed among the population. So what we need to do is fundamentally rewire the way institutions work so that the average politician is not incentivized simply by re-election or bringing in the most money possible, but is incentivized by helping the people in their district.
Yeah.
There are ways we can reform donations, elections. There are ways that we can reform the primary system and reform the lobbying system to fix all of this, and obviously that's a deeper video that we can go into, but there needs to be a fundamental rewiring. When it comes to the Epstein files, they're not being released because the people who have them in their hands have every incentive to protect themselves.
Yes.
When it comes to certain things, what's another good example of corruption here? When it comes to AIPAC, these people are beholden to the massive dollars that AIPAC brings rather than the people who they're actually supposed to be listening to.
Yes.
We need to rewire all of this in a fundamental manner.
Like I said, we have many more formats coming. If you're excited, make sure you drop a like below. Make sure you drop a blue heart if you made it this far. And peace out.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.